Welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It is episode number 448. My name is James Gilmore, and joining me today, it's Emily Soden.
What's up, friends?
It's Rick Cowley.
Hello, hello, hello.
And I already said my name, so I'm not going to say it again. I just saw
and
that.
It's James Gilmore.
Hey!
Hey! Oh, woo!
Hearing someone else do it, I like that. Ooh, I feel all special. It's because I just watched that new Doctor Who trailer. And everything she says twice. I don't know if you've watched it. It's a little thing where she says something and there's like a time echo going on.
Oh.
Which I get as a thematic thing, but what it means is a trailer where everything I say, comes out twice. And it's actually just a bit irritating. However, it does look cool. I have a passing interest in Doctor Who because it's daft and massively camp that I quite like.
Doctor Who's for nerds. I'm going to go on file to say that.
Uh-huh. Remind me what it is you do for a living.
Nothing.
That's what I thought. Yeah, no, of course it is, but it's silly and fun. And I think I've mentioned it before, perhaps years ago, but Brooker said the thing that I like, Charlie Brooker, regarding Doctor Who, which is it manages to somehow bypass all the cynical bits in my brain that know it's rubbish.
Hmm.
And I kind of go, yeah, but, oh, you know, high camp, time-traveling, fantasy, adventure, sci-fi silliness. Go on, then. Pierce also, positively, that a lot of the rage seems to have died down about it being a lady person.
Yes, that is good.
Because when they did the announcement, or every video that appeared, which was like, no, a million downvotes, and now it's getting loads of really positive response on YouTube. So it turns out that maybe it wasn't the end of the world after all.
I do feel like that might be the way with books with sequels and things. Like, the first one gets iffy reviews, and then the second and third are usually just like, yeah! Because all the people who didn't like the first one aren't reading the second one.
I guess, yes. You've narrowed it down to only the fan base at this point. So you're, in some ways, preaching to the choir.
Yeah, which is the way we like it.
Echo chambers for everybody! Woo! what could go wrong? Right, what have we got going on this week? Quite a lot. I always say that, but it's almost always true. We've got a bunch of news, including the arrival of a whole bunch of classic Sega games onto your Switch. About Time 2, the newest trailer for the final season of The Walking Dead has come out, and Emily has feelings. Reigns Her Majesty's got a massive new update and a bit of a sale going on. And Altos Odyssey, we've got the release date for Android. Plus, new releases including the likes of Life is Strange on Android, Motorsport Manager 3, we've got Teen Titans Go Figure, Rowdy Wrestling, and, oh, what's the name of that Nintendo game you're talking about, Rick?
Adventure Time Pirates of the Enchiridion.
Nicely interjected.
Hey!
But first, it's the news. Altos Odyssey has been out on iOS for a little bit, and we mentioned it was coming to Android later this month, specifically July 26th. We've got an official release date for it. You can pre-register, but you know, it's only 6 days. So next Thursday, we reckon it's going to be free based on a little bit of an interview that they did with The Verge. Credit where credit's due. But we'd already sort of theorized it would be free to play based on the previous game.
Seems like the sensible way to go for Android, though, because I think in that interview, like, they confirmed what everyone was kind of thinking anyway, where it, like, performs better because people then can have a go with it and they can reach a wider user base.
Yes, it's very much the model for Android, so I'd be shocked if they did anything else. But mark it in your calendar because despite what everybody... Well, not everybody, that's not fair. Despite what some people were saying regarding, oh, it's just more of the same and what's the point? No, it's really good and it's got a wall-climbing mechanic in it that really does change the feel. So get involved next Thursday. Speaking of games coming to other platforms, we've got Sega Ages. Woo! Not to be confused with Sega Forever, though it's effectively doing the same thing, but for money. So... Sega Forever was the Sega's way of bringing old classic, usually Mega Drive games, over onto mobile phones. You could download them for free, so you're talking about your original Sonics and your bloody Altered Beasts and that sort of thing, and then pay $1.99, $2.99, something like that, to unlock it for fullsies. Now, they're doing a similar program with the Nintendo Switch. It's going to be launching with things like Sonic the Hedgehog, the re-release of arcade shooter Thunder Force 4, I haven't played that. I had a Mega Drive and I haven't played that.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. Funny enough, what they're doing is they're doing some tinkering with Sonic. And I don't know if this was the same as the PS4 releases of the game, but you can flick a switch on this revamped version of Sonic where it adds Sonic's spin dash that was introduced in Sonic 2 but isn't in Sonic 1. And you can turn it on or off. And that was always weird for me because I remember going back to Sonic and trying to do it and being really confused why it wouldn't work. And I'd forgotten that actually it was an inclusion in the sequel. It was a brand new mechanic that wasn't always there. But my head had just assumed it had always been in Sonic games, which is terrible. But they'll be, yeah, giving you the new versions of these ones. The thing is, we don't know what it's going to cost. It's been speculated that they reckon it'll be about like a £10 or $10.
Oof.
Which seems a lot. I don't know where this speculation came from. It was written by Kieran Robertson. I don't know if this is Kieran dropping their knowledge on it or whether that's what people have decided, because what does it cost on like PS4 and Xbox Live to just get like Sonic?
It's like a fiver?
I thought about the same. Like, and I know that Nintendo Switch eShop is a bit more expensive generally. Everything's a bit pricier on that console. But tenner for old Sonic? That's a bit much, isn't it?
It's really weird as well, because free-to-play is becoming a thing on Switch. Although I guess you don't really have ads anymore.
How do they make the free-to-play work? Because I know like that Pokemon game that they released for Switch, that sort of blocky, Minecrafty-looking one. Mm. That was free-to-play, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's free-to-play. So they're just doing free-to-play with in-app purchases. They haven't yet got adverts over, which is how you usually get money outside of IAP on mobile. So I guess it would be weird to have ads on Switch, but that would be the way to do it, I suppose, okay. If you were going to do it like Sega Forever, which is why they haven't adapted that name.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I appreciate the fact that they're adding these options. They're adding similar options to Thunder Force 4 as well. Like, you can play the OG Mega Drive version, but you can also make changes in the settings, turn on kids modes for lower difficulty and that sort of stuff. So they've got these new added features which they've built in. So they have done stuff to it. And those are the two that are going to be going live, and we believe it's happening this August. So those are the two games, Sonic and Sega Ages Thunder Force 4 on Switch. We will let you know when cool stuff like, you know, Phantasy Star and all that appears, because that's been announced, but we haven't got a release date for it. And as soon as you've got a price, yeah, we'll keep you informed. Now, that's old stuff being revamped. This is current stuff coming to an end. The Walking Dead, the final season. We've got a trailer out for it. So I had a look at this morning. It's the first stuff I've seen from the new series. I was struck, Emily, by how good it looks compared to the original Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, they like, I think in the previous one, A New Frontier, they kind of messed about with the art style a bit more, and this time they've messed about it with the, like, even more. I know the whole art style is slightly different.
It is. It's a little bit more realistic. They have done away with some of the more cartoony aspects of it. They've still got the thick black outlines on the characters, and, you know, it's still by no means approaching photorealism, and that's not what they want. But everyone looks a little bit more human. There is a lot more detail going on. I was quite surprised to see it. I mean, I don't know why, because it's been 6 years?
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah. Since it first came out. So, you know, a lot's happened, and it was originally launched on the last generation, and this is clearly running on a PS4 or Xbox One X or something. So, yes, of course, it's going to look better. And we've had loads of series since then. The Batman games look a little bit more like this. This is the closest comparison, I think. Those Batman games look a bit like this.
Mm.
Also, Clementine all growed up.
Yeah, our girl is getting there.
Minor spoilers for 30 seconds. Where did we leave it in the last installment with Clementine?
With The New Frontier, you left it with Clementine going after her adopted son, AJ.
Okay.
Which was the baby from the third season? No, like the one before A New Frontier.
Clementine's got an adopted son. Kids having kids.
Yeah, well, like in... This is, again, major spoiler territory. In season 2, she bands together with this big group, and one of them is pregnant.
Okay.
The pregnant one dies after having the baby, and Clementine, like, takes care of it, basically. And she's only, like, I don't know, 12, 13 at the time.
Okay.
Which then A New Frontier is set a couple of years after that. You know, Clementine's this badass little teenager who has been taking care of AJ, and then AJ's taken away from her. That's how we start New Frontier. It stops when she goes after AJ, and then obviously she finds him, because this new one is all about them two. And I'm scared, James. I'm scared for my girl.
Well, I'm getting a sort of Last of Us 2 vibe, in so much as, you know, we've been playing as Clementine for a while, even from season 2, you know, she was a playable character. But, you know, she's looking very much in control of herself, and she's grown up a bit, and she's got a bow and arrow. And yes, I'm getting that sort of survival young girl vibe, similar to Last of Us 2.
Mm.
But I'm, for the first time in a while, I've been like, oh, do I catch up on this? Because not just because of the art style, maybe, but I'd forgotten that I quite liked that first season. And I think I played the second one as well. And then I just phased out.
I think the second one was probably the worst of the lot.
Yeah, maybe that turned me off.
Just because it was all just very predictable and all that. But I actually genuinely, because I was kind of feeling the same way. You know, the first season was so good that it felt like a letdown to follow on from that, and it always felt like your decisions never really made an impact on the story.
Yeah.
Whilst the recent one, the last one, A New Frontier, I legit enjoyed it, like, beyond anything. All the characters, all of the decisions. It was a really enjoyable experience.
Okay. Maybe it'd be worth tuning in for then. Well, we're going to be getting it on the Switch later this year. There's been no mention of the iOS or the Android release yet, but obviously we know it's going to happen, because it always does. So we'll let you know as soon as that appears. Finally, for new stuff, Reigns Her Majesty's popped up again, which is great news, because it's a cracking wee game. It's got an update and a sale. So the update is no small thing. It's called the Transformation Update, and it adds 200 new cards to the deck, which is kind of badass. I'm sure you guys all know how it works at this point, but, you know, it's all just flicking through decks of cards and choosing yes or no to a simple either-or question, and then trying to appease the four different columns at the top of the screen, your church, your army, your bank, that sort of thing. And it's great, and it's funny, and it has a lot of dry wit, and it's got that sort of slightly sarky tone to it that doesn't become irritating. It's actually very clever. And a lovely little new age hippie quality to it, I think. There's lots of witch stuff in there, and lots of necromancy and things. So, 200 new cards, including new characters. You've got new deaths. The best thing of all is that it's free. That's kind of handy. And also, if you haven't jumped on the wagon yet, it is currently on sale on iOS. It's £1.99 or $1.99, and roughly the same on Android, we think. It's also on sale on Steam, if you play these things on Steam. Can't imagine playing that on Steam.
No, I feel like it's, you know, with the swipe mechanics and stuff, it works way better on mobile.
Yeah. Yeah, it would obviously work, but it just feels weird. I'm so used to that whole whoosh, 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 whoosh. And it would feel, that was a swiping, by the way. That wasn't me using a whip or something.
You're just making that noise at the screen.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not working. No matter how hard I whoosh, nothing's happening. So you can grab that dead cheap right now. We'd advise you do it. It's quite good. It always has been. Check out the reviews and everything. It's lovely. Out and about this week. Lots to talk about here. So we'll start off quick. Life is Strange has come to Android. We mentioned it in the update. That's pretty much all we need to say, I think. Because if you haven't played Life is Strange or heard about it, then I don't know. I don't know what to say to you.
I was going to say, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? Play it now.
Though presumably that's why it's out on Android, because some people haven't. The thing to mention this, beyond, I think we all like it, right, guys?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge fans. It's great. Actually, slight side note. Have you played the new thing? The trailer, Adventures of Captain Spirit?
Yes.
Not yet, no.
Okay. What do you think, Rick?
It's heartbreaking in all the right ways.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I think it's I'm very excited to see where Life is Strange 2 goes.
I'm hoping that the kid, because it's a young boy this time, who's kind of playing around on his own in a house with his father, not paying a great deal of attention to him, and I won't spoil it if you haven't seen it yet, but I'm hoping there's a bit of a time jump
yes.
with the kid.
I'm hoping he becomes sort of a teenager rather than being a child.
I might find that quite grating if he stays as that kid.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mm.
I have faith in Don't Nod to deliver an excellent game, no matter what.
I do when it comes to this stuff. When it comes to their other stuff, it's all very, you know, like, Remember Me and that new vampire one's not gotten a lot of love. But yes, when it comes to Life is Strange, we're all huge fans, so hopefully they'll pull this out of the bag. This original game, this is just the OG Life is Strange, not Before the Storm, coming to Android. And yes, fabulous stuff. However, needs a decent device to run on. So it will only run on a Samsung Galaxy S7 or higher, Google Pixel or higher, and the Sony Xperia Z6 or upwards, and you need 2 GB of free space. So, to put that in context, I was able to get Life is Strange running on iOS on an S6S, rather. It looked a bit rubbish, but it still ran. I don't know how that compares to the S7 Galaxy. It feels like that's an older device.
It's not, like, because I've got an S7 Edge. And I think it was a year old when I got it back in 2016, so 2015-ish.
Oh, okay, that's fine. That's not too bad. So, yeah, just bear that in mind before you cough up your cash and download it and it just goes and stutters and dies. But do get it if you haven't played it already. It's dead good. And they do work just fine on iOS, like the Telltale games. Touch interface is great for this kind of thing, so it'll still be lovely. Now, proper reviews. Motorsport Manager Mobile 3 has come out. I've played a bunch. You've played a bunch, Rick.
I'm currently playing it right now, as we speak.
So, for the uninitiated, how would you describe this series and this one in particular?
Ooh, well, I've never played anything else in the series before, but from what I can gather, it's a very deep strategy simulation game about running a motorsport team.
Mm-hmm.
And doing races and hiring engineers and building your own parts and setting up your HQ and setting up supply chains and blah, 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 blah. And it's really deep and very, very confusing if you have no idea what's going on.
Yes, it's expanded from what it was previously. The original, because I've played all of them, not like for weeks and weeks and weeks, but I have played all of them. And originally it was much more pared down. It was focusing mainly on, like, you go straight into the big races and you're managing your driver, and that was kind of the focus. And it's expanded over time. The second one was more of a 1.5 rather than a full rebranding and readdressing of the mechanics. This one is just that. This is like, right, we've completely shaken everything up. You're managing every possible aspect of the game. And it's very comparable to the games we reviewed like last week or the week before, I forget which, but New Star Soccer Manager. It really does feel hand in hand with that, which is like same idea. Originally, it was just a much tighter focus on one player and their career. And now it's absolutely everything. Mm. And it is overwhelming when you first dive in, I think. Because the tutorial's quite well handled, but it never ends, it feels like. Every time you do something or finish a race, it's like, and here's a new thing. By the way, here's this. And here's a quick few tips on how to do this. And here's a new mechanic. And did we mention supply chains? And you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I like the fact that it gives you everything and it'll give you a tutorial, which is basically just a PowerPoint presentation that says, here's all the different things that you can do. And then you're just kind of left to poke and prod and see what things do what and how long is this going to take and work it out for yourself. So I'm sure it's one of those games where you'll probably start off, play for a few hours, go, okay, now I know what I'm doing, now I'm going to start a new save and do this all much, much better, which is how I usually play simulation games.
Right, yeah.
But it looks really beautiful, although I'm having an issue. Every single female character looks like my ex, and it's really, really confusing. Like, I loaded up, and I usually play as women in games, and I was like, right, female, and it was my ex just sat in front of me, and I was like, oh my god, no, I can't do this, what's going on? It was the weirdest sensation. But no, other than that, it's a really interesting game.
That's an unexpected wrinkle when you're...
I know, it's not what you want to see when you load up a game.
No, I suppose not. But I've played it a bunch for the video review, and obviously Harry did the full review of it. We really, really liked it. It is an incredibly polished thing. If you like the sport, obviously you'll be equally interested, but even if you're not, the mechanics of it are well engaging, and managing your sponsors and making sure you've got the right pit crew, and then using the skills of the individual pit crew members to improve the car parts. And when you upgrade, well, when you hire on new members, they have specific like talents. So if you get a good pit crew member who's particularly good with tires, when it comes to creating new tire designs or brake pads or something like that, you use individual members of your crew to give specific boosts based on their strengths. And like, it's properly in depth and layered, and there's a lot to look after. So provided you're not like paralyzed at the thought of spinning 20 plates, you will probably like this. And I think it targets the fan base brilliantly, and it's been really, really well received, and rightfully so. So Motorsport Manager Mobile 3, I think I called it by its wrong, I've jumbled up the words in my review, but I don't care, it's all the same, it's all just a bunch of M's. And it's out right now. I think it's about £4, £5, something like that. So proper premium, no adverts or anything. So go and have a look at that one. Now, on the far lighter side of things, Teen Titans Go Figure is the sequel to Teeny Titans. And it is daft, isn't it, Em?
Oh, it's daft and it's very, very fluid.
So pulled directly from the cartoon that's going on at the moment and has been going for some time. Not to be confused with the new DC trailer that's just emerged from Comic-Con.
Have you seen that?
It's so edgy!
It looks
so
absolutely
edgy.
It looks like a fan trailer. Like,
Robin says a bad word! So cute! Yeah, that's well try hard. I'm gonna beep it because this is a family podcast, but it's basically Robin turning up in an alleyway and one of them goes, "Is there Batman? Where's Batman?" And Robin, because he's an edgelord, goes, "F*** Batman."
Oh,
and then
ow.
Shoots 10 people.
Yeah. And breaks someone's neck.
It's so cool. Which is just like, I don't get this, because the only good bit about the DC universe at the minute is the light, fluffy Cartoon Network style-y, you know, the Flash and the Arrow and that's the bit that's doing well, because it's like light and campy and silly, and it's got lots of very, very pretty slender boys with their tops off, and that's what's working for them on the CW, whereas their whole like, "We're gonna do this dark, gritty, shiny mini universe" has backfired catastrophically. So why on earth are they doubling down on like, "Oh, we're gonna make Robin a dick"? Like, it's like, what are you trying to achieve with this one? Like, dark, it's already not worked for you, DC. That thing where they change all the characters so they're no longer their characters anymore. We do dark version. It's like, we're going to do it's like Superman, only he's a prick and hates everybody. Oh, wait a minute, that was Batman versus Superman. And it's like, no one likes this. Why? What are you doing? You're insane. Whereas what you should be doing is this Teen Titans Go thing. So, if you've not played the first one, it's kind of, I mean, it's quite Pokemon-y, isn't it? Would you say? Maybe not. Judging by that silence.
I don't know, it's just so cute and weirdly engaging, and you just collect figures and battle them and stuff. Oh yeah, actually, it's like Pokemon.
There we go, there it is. So the way that it works is, rather than rummaging around in bushes and discovering Pokemon or anything like that, you are one of the Teen Titans, I was Cyborg, and you stomp around the city, and it's kind of meta, because rather than you being Teen Titans actually engaging in fights, the idea is you're Teen Titans and you've got like little 3DSs, and you meet up with other superheroes or villains, and then you fight them. But you're not actually fighting them. You're fighting them on both your 3DSs. And you've got little figures. So it's like you are the person collecting amiibos and then stacking them and putting them into the game using the little platforms like you do with Skylanders. So that's what the fights are, which is a bit weird. But it does work, because the fights are very simplistically done. It's very Pokemon-y in so much as that they're just like, you know, one person on the screen and the other on the other side, that sort of foreground, background sort of thing. You can have up to three people in your squad at any one time, and then it's just a bar. Bar at the bottom of the screen charges up, and at certain points on that bar, it will activate certain attacks. So on the lower end, as it's charging, you can do some very low power things. If you wait for the bar to charge all the way to the top, you've usually got a really powerful one at the very end, which you can bap. But you have to wait for it to load. So in the meantime, another character might attack you and do hideous damage and kill you. So that's the risk-reward thing you've got going on there. When you collect the characters, the nice thing I thought was you go into actual shops on the map and it's like going into a store, like a comic book store with action figures and in their blister packs. And the nice thing that I appreciated was because they're all hanging on hooks like they do in a real store. And obviously there are several characters hanging onto the same hook, again, like in a real store. And it lets you browse in that way that you would browse, where you have to like you pull the one at the front of the hook line to side to see what's behind it. So you're pulling the action figures aside to see all the way down to see what's at the very back and what's hidden. And if you pull your finger too hard, you just like whap it off and fling it out off the screen and you can't get it back. So you have to browse sensibly, or you just go in and go, no, I want to see. And you just fling them all over the shop. Which I thought was quite cute. It's a nice little touch.
I love the combat system. I think it's very fluid, and it means that you have to sort of pay attention in battles. You can't just sort of sit there and wait for things to happen, because you've got to get the timing down. You've got to think, oh, some things need to power up before you can actually use them, like on top of the standard power-up, and you can get cancelled from that, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I love the overworld that you just sort of roam around, and I love that you can just go up to random people, like anybody on the street, and just challenge them to a battle. It's just got so much going for it. It's just a really clever, neat, and it's beautiful, and the characterizations are spot on with the Teen Titans Go cartoon. Like the script is dead on and perfect, and it's just really, really good, which I didn't expect.
Now, the thing I liked about it is you can switch characters like tag team style, so you can flip between one of your three Teen Titans, but the bar remains the same level of charge when you switch characters. So it becomes well tactical. It's not like you switch character and it goes back to zero and carries on charging. And because all of the teens have their different types of powers, and some of them are defensive, some of them are offensive, you'll often have lower leveled characters in your band because you're trying to like bam them up a level by including them. So you'll include one like level 2 character while the rest of your characters are like level 6 or something. So you bring them into the field to use their attack, really quickly use it, and then switch back to a character which has like 3 times the energy to make sure they don't get horribly battered. So you can like sort of use them inadvertently as tanks just to absorb damage and then immediately switch them out when the other guy's full powered. Bam, use that power, then switch back again. So as you say, you do have to be engaged. It does allow for tactical play. And it is free to play, but it's not got any like timers on it. It's not got any currencies.
Is it free to play?
I thought it was. Is it not?
No, it's premium on iOS. I don't know if it's free-to-play yet on Android, though.
Well. Because we got the code, so I have no idea anymore what is and isn't. But that's fantastic news, then. Because I was wondering, I was going to say, this is a very generous free-to-play game, if it isn't. But it makes sense that it should be premium, because it feels it. Well, good. We gave it a gold award. We really liked it. It's just fun and daft and light and not insidious and horrible and cynical like a lot of these games can be. Can they? So Teen Titans Go Figure is the name of that one. We'd recommend giving it a look. Rick, you've been playing something on a Switch.
I have, as I regularly do. I've been playing Adventure Time Pirates of the Enchiridion, which is a pun.
Pirates of the Enchiridion.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, okay.
Except you've got to say it like an American, so it's Caribbean.
Caribbean. Okay, I got you.
There you see?
That's horrible.
It took me days to work that out. I was just sat there and I thought, Enchiridion, Caribbean. Oh, wow.
Nicely done. So,
and unfortunately, the game is as bad as that pun.
Oh, snap. Okay.
So the setup is that you're Finn and Jake of the Adventure Time series, and the whole world is flooded, and now you've got to sail around and find out, why is it flooded, how can you fix it, why is everyone talking like pirates, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So it's got a good setup, and like the script is good, and it's all the worlds are there, so you go to the Candy Kingdom, you go to the Ice Kingdom, the Fire Kingdom at the minute, this kind of thing. So all the people are there, all the characters that you know and love from the series, and they're all well scripted, and they all look like they should, and all this kind of thing. And it's got that sort of feel to it. But that's all just surface level stuff. As soon as you start digging anywhere underneath the surface, it just becomes bad. So the initial load time when you boot up the game is about 2 minutes, which is insane.
Holy cow.
And then you get hit by more load screens as you keep going through, and they are enormous, like huge long load screens for everything, including just sort of walking into a battle. And when you do walk into a battle, you're just going to get presented with this title card saying it's fight time. But you can still move around in the world, because it's not actually pause the game to load the fight, which is really weird.
Right.
And cutscenes don't pause the world either, so you can hear, like, there's like, loads of repeated dialogue going on in the background during important cutscenes, which is really weird. And, yeah, it's just... And it's so slow to get around anywhere. Like, you go on this boat and the whole world's flooded and you've got to go on the boat to get anywhere, but the boat's slow and the world is huge, so you just... And there's nothing to do on the sea. It's just an open sea. So you just sail endlessly.
So it's an explorative kind of RPG thing. So that's what it is. I'm watching video of it now. So it's roaming around, you know, Legend of Zelda style. And then you get into battles which are also... like classic JRPG style battles, right?
Yeah, they're turn-based battles. You can use attacks and skills and stuff. Interestingly, you can use items as well as do an attack in one turn, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. So you can like make sure that you're fully healed at all times, which is really nice. Okay. And one of your characters that you eventually unlock encourages you to continually use items with them, because that powers up their special move for some reason. And so it's got a nice idea, but the combat just doesn't really feel right. It's hard to describe. There's elemental skills that you can use, but it never tells you... It'll tell you sort of briefly, oh, it was weak to this, or this was weak to... Or, you can't use this because it's the enemy's strong against it.
Right.
But it never sort of... You have to remember that. And in a lot of other games, it'll sort of remind you later on, oh, now that you've learned that, you can continually use this attack and it'll do loads of damage. But in this one, you just kind of got to store that information in the back of your head. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was a kind of annoying thing. And also the difficulty is insane. you can see the level of the character, level of the fight you're going into before you go into it. And sometimes you'll see with a skull and crossbones that kind of says, don't go into this fight. And it's like, it'll be fine. You walk into it and you die in the first turn because the enemy will just kill you. So that's fine because you can kind of ignore it and just move away and find a different route. But against bosses who you have no idea when they're coming, bosses will have two turns and they will buff and then attack and then buff and then attack, and you can't do anything to defend against it, and you can just lose members of your squad in like one turn of the boss because you can't defend and you can't heal or anything like that. And it's just weird to sort of be wandering around doing these battles. It's like, okay, this is fairly simple, and then go against a boss and suddenly it's like, oh, they can regenerate half their health and also they can buff their attacks so they can knock out one of my team in one hit. It's like, it's just really frustrating. And it crashes all the time and it just feels buggy. And it's really disappointing because it's got all the feel of the Adventure Time world and stuff. And it's got the script down, it's got the characters down, it's got that sort of whimsy. But it just fails on every other aspect. And it's a real shame.
Yeah, I'm, say, looking at the videos and stuff, and it seems that your view is shared by people. People have been disappointed with this one. That's a bummer. Especially on the heels of that sort of more interesting RPG from last week, The Octopath.
Yes.
Which has gotten a lot of love, actually. Despite the flaws that you mentioned, I think people have really, really warmed to it. Okay, so Adventure Time, Pirates of the Enchiridion.
I would give it a look if you're a massive Adventure Time fan, but if you're not, it's not going to persuade you.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. Also out this week, Rowdy Wrestling. So this is the latest from Colin Lane, he of the wrestling fame and Dunkers and all those other sort of slightly goofy physics action games that you can play with very, very minimal controls and are just about jumping around and having silly physics fun. And this is... very much the same sort of deal. So the idea is they've gone full, like, old-fashioned wrestling style here, which you might have guessed by the rowdy bit in the title, if you've got any familiarity with 80s wrestling. But it's also trying to capture sort of the spectacle of it all. It throws a lot of fighters into the ring. If you've never played one of these, very, very, like, low pixel count, you just move left or right, and attack basically makes your arms sort of circle as if your characters were just action figures, so your arms are bolt outright locked together, and you just rotate, complete 360, dislocating their shoulders. And you need to bash them until they get dizzy, and then once they're dizzy, you can use the same attack to kind of flip them out of the ring. Your arms only ever rotate in one direction, so you kind of have to get between the ring, the edge of the ring, and them, because you always sort of throw back over your head, so you need to be facing away from the audience and then go whoop and lob it over your head and over the ring and out.